Hello there and welcome along. My name is Vinny and you're listening to a podcast about travelling. My mission is to get to 100 countries. This will be country 94. This is the Philippines. Coming up, you'll hear a podcast about the Philippines in two parts. Part one is a great deal of Manila and the process of getting motorbikes and leaving Manila. And part two is hanging out on a beach and meeting a racist. So this is part one of a two-part podcast about the Philippines, and I hope you enjoy it, frankly. Sure, you can land on my nose. Hello and welcome. I'm going to start this podcast quite quietly, and you'll see why in a second. I am in Brighton in the south of England, and I'm staying at my friend's house, and he's got a bit of money. Henceforth, he's got his own part-time Filipino cleaner. And the cleaner is a lovely, lovely lady called Gloria, and she is from the Philippines. I'm going to the Philippines now. My bag is packed, and I'm just about to leave for the airport. And I thought before I go to start this podcast, I will ask my friend's Filipino cleaner one piece of advice about travelling the Philippines. So let's see what she says. And then once I've talked to her, the next bit of audio you hear is going to be me in the Philippines. Let's find out. Gloria?
Yeah?
What is one piece of advice you'd give to anyone that's going to the Philippines?
You can talk to people, you see. Yeah, it's like that. But, you know, you have to be careful about the money. Because sometimes a lot of people, they stitch you up. Yeah, that's the thing, number one, of that money, you know. It's just because you're a foreigner. It's like they're taking advantage, you see. But you know the price. But you can make a friend in there, like the Filipino, so that he can help you, you know.
You can't trust everybody?
Don't trust it. It's, yeah. But it's a good one to go. For riding, you know.
Do you want me to send you a picture of me in front of your house? I can do that. Shall I do it?
If you go by along somebody's way, you know. If you can pass there, why not?
I think I want to do it. Can you write your address down? Yeah. I'm going to go and take a picture in front of your house.
Oh, yeah.
Is anyone in? Do you want me to drop off some chicken? Hello and welcome to the Philippines. That's where I am. And I'm standing up and I am jet lagged to fuck. Welcome to the Philippines. Manila, to be exact, the capital. Here I am on an archipelago of islands in the Pacific. Lots of islands, we'll get into that another time. But first of all, let's just tell you what's happened so far. I took a 10-hour flight from London to Shenzhen. Shenzhen's one of those cities in China that you've never heard of, but houses more people than London. China's got loads of them. It's got mega cities hidden in the crack of its geographical arse-anus. After Shenzhen, it was, I think it was 2.5-hour flight to Manila. So once you've got to Shenzhen, you've very much broken the back of it. China was weird. I mean, I'm obviously not counting it as a tick-off because I didn't even leave the airport, but it was a bit weird. Everyone had little boxes to translate. I went into the air lounge thinking I had access. I had this pass thing. And I said, hello, I've got this pass thing. And they just spoke into a box in Mandarin. And then the box spoke at me and said, I'm sorry, your pass does not work here. So I couldn't get into the air lounge because I'm sorry, my pass did not work there. So that was fine. Then I went to a restaurant and there was a man complaining. I couldn't hear him, but it was very obvious. He was a Western man and he was obviously complaining about the fact that his wine glass had lipstick on it. So he called the waiter over and you could see him mouth, I would imagine, hey waiter, sorry to bother you, but this wine glass has got lipstick on it. And the Chinese guy talks into his box and the box presumably says, what seems to be the problem? To which the guy says, well, I've got a wine glass here with lipstick on it. And he says it into the box. So the man is holding him the box. Then the box translates it into Mandarin. and the Chinese man understands that the problem is that there's lipstick on the wine glass. I can see that. I'm fucking 50 metres away. You don't need the box for that. So then he presumably says back into the little box, what would you like me to do? To which the white guy with the wine glass says, change it. I'm all in for technology, but you can actually get quite a lot done with body language and common sense. So then I went for a bowl of noodles. I said, how much is that? She spoke into the box, a number, and the box said 39 yuan, which was quite a good value. But I was like, again, why don't you just put the 39 next to the already pictorial bowl of noodles that I'm pointing at on the menu? I think we can eradicate the boxes, people. I think we can get rid of the boxes. But then, you know, Shenzhen is, I think, one of those places where everything's made. Almost definitely those boxes. Just to let you know that a lot of your boxes are being used without good reason. Niche audience, unlikely. So there you go, I managed to talk 5 minutes about a country I didn't even visit, that's China. And then into Manila, where I am now. Hello Manila. Oh, you're hot. Jesus. Came out of the airport, kaboom! You know that feeling of being smacked by a hot, wet flannel after a curry? That's Manila when you get here. I arrived at 2 o'clock in the morning. Now, I am not a prissy man. I'm a pretty easy traveller. As you know, I've been to a lot of countries. And when you've been to a lot of countries, you have to drop the whole, well, this isn't how it's done card. You know, you have to be a bit more, hey, whatever, man. I'm just here to see the world. I'm a groovy hippie. But I did want a lift. So I arranged with a hotel that I'd already booked to pick me up at the airport at 2 o'clock in the morning. I was bang on time. The last message I got from the hotel was, go to Bay 14. So I'm like, okay, I'll go to Bay 14. So when I arrived at Manila, I didn't have a SIM card, there was no Wi-Fi, and there was no Bay 14 at all. It's exactly what I didn't want to happen. Lots of people shouting at me, hey, taxi, taxi, stressy, stressy, get this bus, do this. Why don't you buy a loaf of bread? Hang on, it's starting to rain now. Shit. Right, I've taken refuge in a doorway. As is always the case with developing countries, I always hate arriving, and I always hate arriving tired at 2 a.m, because this is exactly when I'm at my weakest and most susceptible to being robbed or done over. So I'm like ridiculously on it, looking at everyone as if they're gonna mug me, which by the way, they're really not. But I just felt very defensive and weak and like I needed a cuddle. Basically, I was wandering around trying to find this Bay 14. And then I went to someone, I said, look, where's this Bay 14? She said, you need a taxi. And I went, surely I don't need a taxi to a taxi bay. That's not how taxis work. She said, well, Bay 14 isn't in this terminal, right? So why don't you get a cab and then you can find your driver at Bay 14 in the other terminal. Oh, fuck's sake, I don't even know if he's there. Just out of interest, quick additional question. When I get to Bay 14, how far away is it from this hotel? And I show her my hotel, and she says, oh, that's basically next to it. Okay, so just to confirm, you want me to get a cab to another terminal, get into a cab that's gonna take me to a hotel that you say is next to where the cab is now, if he's there? This is shit. So I said, fuck this. Went to a cabbie, jumped in that, got to the hotel. Lo and behold, there's a little lady waiting for me. She says, aren't you supposed to be at Bay 14? I said, right, it's 2:30 a.m. I don't give a shit where Bay 14 is, but it's definitely not in the terminal I got off. Oh, did you get off at Terminal 1? Yes. Oh, we didn't know that. You did. I sent you all my flight details. Yeah, but you didn't send the terminal. Could have looked it up. Yeah, but we didn't look it up. I know you didn't look it up. That's why this is happening. She goes, you were not going to believe who's on the phone. Who's on the phone? It's the taxi driver. He's at Bay 14 waiting for you. Okay. We'll tell him, sorry, but I'm not going to come because he went to the wrong terminal. Okay, then. And she smiled and laughed in that sort of, I'm slightly embarrassed, but I'm not going to say sorry way, and gave me some keys to my hotel. So I got in, really, I think it was probably about 3:00 a.m. by the time someone just got stabbed. They didn't. I got in at 3:00 a.m. and went to bed. And look, get used to it. It's a developing country. It's always the same, isn't it? It's like noise is a sport. I think I might be upsetting that dog. Alright, I'm moving. Yeah. So far it's a choice between doing this podcast in a monsoon or next to an angry dog. Shut up. Alright, I'll come over here. Oh, it stopped raining. Christ, that was quick. Alright, turn it in. Shut your dog face. And then I fell asleep about 7 o'clock. And then I woke up at 4 p.m. So 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. I woke up, I was like, oh my God, the sun's going down. Shit. So I managed to get out and get a coffee for sunset. And now the sun has set and now it's dark. And I've got the whole day ahead of me. Well, the whole night ahead of me. I'm just really confused. But this was always going to happen. It's going to take a few days to adjust for this one. What can I tell you so far? Lots of people on mopeds, not wearing helmets, lots of traffic, lots of noise, lots of mopeds that have been extended with like bolt-on sidecars and turned into taxis. And it's pretty clever because you can actually get, I've seen four people fairly comfortably on a motorbike, because you get two in the sidecar, you got your driver, and then you can get someone behind the driver. And you can pop a baby on there somewhere as well if you need to, if you've got one. Or you can use someone else's. Probably best to use someone else's. Lots of street sellers selling kebabs and little knickknacks. My mission sometime tonight is to find a SIM card so I can get on the network. And then probably, I suppose, have a meal and a beer. And in a few days' time, I'm going to get a motorbike. I'm going to be cruising across the Philippines. And I've got a friend. Wow, okay. That is what's known as a jeepney. We'll get into them another time, but they're very, very loud. They're a stretched American jeep, unique to the Philippines. But yeah, I'm gonna be crossing the Philippines on a motorbike, or a good chunk of it, with a friend. I've got a friend coming out from London, Pete, who'll be joining me, and we'll have a bit of a laugh. And I'd love you to come along. So from a slightly lost and slightly confused, but very happy Vinny, surrounded by dogs, noise, monsoons, fried goods, people looking very smiley, and an absolutely shite cup of coffee. Rubbish. Absolute rubbish. It was about $1.50, which is a lot. You know when you go to an American diner and they tease your taste buds with what should be a coffee, but is actually black water disguised as a coffee, and then they have the audacity to give you it bucket after bucket for free. Fucking right, it should be free. It's a bit like that. Always amazes me that countries that can grow coffee invariably always make the worst coffee. But I'm beginning to sound a bit like a colonial arsehole, so I think I'll leave it there. It's a bit of a curse being British sometimes, because you make observations and you just sound a bit like your great-granddad who used to do deplorable things. Anyway, I'll try not to do that again. The coffee's shit, but it's not their fault. Nope, that sounded patronising. I'll leave it here. More reporting soon from the Philippines. Good morning. I hope you're doing fantastically well. So I'm up at 7 o'clock in the morning, which you might think, oh, that's quite an early time to get up. I haven't been to bed yet. I'm fully nocturnal. The jet lag's completely fucked me. I think, well, at least my body thinks, that I should probably be going to bed fairly soon, which is, funnily enough, exactly what I'm going to do. I'm listening to my body. I went for a beer at, 4:30 in the morning. Apparently there's 24-hour bars here. Rock-a-doodle-doo. Interesting experience. I had a beer and then I was like, I think I really want a whiskey. And she said, well, you can have a bottle of whiskey. And I went, look, mate, I mean, I've got problems with sleep and I quite like booze, but I think that might be a bit much. And she said, no, you can only have a bottle of whiskey or a beer. I was like, what happens if I want a whiskey in a glass? Can we do that? She's like, no, bottle only. Fuck it, that's mental. What? So I managed to negotiate a can of Jack Daniels and Coke. Yes, a can of Jack Daniels and Coke. Absolute horseshit. Yes, mate, I'm not going to buy your sausages. So I come back to the hotel room. close my eyes, 6 o'clock in the morning, all fucking hell breaks loose. You're out to land at the airport or take off at the airport at 6 in the morning. So 6:01, a jumbo jet took off, and then, which the airport's not far from here, and then all the traffic started, and then your man started shouting, "Yabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba!" Which any second now he'll shout again. I mean, you tell me what I've got wrong about that sentence. I've heard it a few times. Please hold while I wait for the man to shout the thing. Should mention, by the way, the windows aren't open. I want the aircon on so the windows are closed. I wonder if he's selling the thing that he keeps shouting about. I wonder if he's selling a pint of yabba dabba doo ba da ba haba. Or a punnet of yabba da hey nahana. There he is. Okay. I look back at that time in the bar, just an hour ago or whatever it was. It was a great moment of solemnity. Because now, looking out the window, it's just bonkers. 100 mopeds, 100 cars, travelling down a road that doesn't fit 100 of either of them. Squeezing, beeping, honking. An ambulance with his emergency lights on, parked up. Is he having a fag or is he saving a life? I don't know. And someone playing La Bamba, which I didn't expect. I mean, we'll probably get into the Spanish roots of this country, but a bit ahead of the game there with the old La Bamba. Despite my moaning, it's really good. It's really good. I just need to make sure I get up today before the sun goes down. If you speak Filipino, do text me and let me know what he's saying. Is it, would you like to buy an apple? Is it, would you like to get on this bus? I can't see him. There's just a mass of people and vehicles down there, so I don't know. What's going on now? Oh my God, you've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. I can't believe I didn't see this. Can you hear that sort of faint music and the occasional hey, hey, hey? I've just pulled the blinds back because now I'm taking life a bit more seriously. There's 60 people dancing to a sped up version of Lady Gaga in gym gear. Perfectly choreographed. Left arm up, right arm up, shimmy shake, back leg, front leg, turn it round. We haven't got back legs and front legs, don't get too focused on that. Give it a woohoo. Yeah. Imagine a K-pop video where everyone looks good but worryingly young. Yeah, I'd say it looks a bit like that, but there's 50 of them. And a complete lack of men. I think they're all women. I haven't got my glasses on, so I have no idea if they're attractive. But frankly, bed's calling. They've just got up, haven't they? They've just got up and they're living their life. This is their morning workout. They're going to make something of their life now. One of them's going stark raving bonkers over there. They're all wearing blue shirts. I don't know if that's relevant, but apparently it's some sort of organised thing. I wonder if they do this every morning. Great way to start the day. I don't think I've ever felt so opposite the country I'm in. While 50 Filipinos dance to a sped up version of Bad Romance. Do you know what? Do these windows open? It just doesn't sound any better, does it? It just sounds a bit more motorbikey. Oh, I think there's one fella. I can see a fella. He's at the back. I need the aircon. It's already 27 degrees. I never really know how these things are going to go. I didn't see that coming. But that's really why you come here, isn't it? You know what you get in Florida or Benidorm. You're not really sure what you get here. And I didn't know I was going to get that. Very keen. Well done. Congratulations. No one likes a hero, so do keep it down while I pour a whiskey and attempt to go to sleep at what is approaching 7 o'clock in the pissing morning. Ta-ta. Don't So let's get some basics done, and we'll start with, hey, what was the population in 1950? And the reason I start in 1950 is because it was about 17 million. What is it now? It is 100 million more. Yeah, 1950 there was about 17 million, now there's about 117 million. So, you know, the Catholics. Was it always Catholic? No. Are there loads of other Asian Catholic countries? No. Wasn't it something to do with Spain at some point? Yes. Tell me more about that. I'm trying to. Let's start with the early history. Pre-colonial period, Philippines, originally inhabited by various ethnic groups, they were called Austronesian people, and they were hunter-gatherers who later learned to farm. Pretty much like everyone else. Okay, so far, so good. Fast forward a bit, and let's have a little looky-poos at the 10th century. Filipinos, not that they were called Filipinos at the time, were trading with China, and by the 12th century, Arab merchants introduced Islam to the region. They'd already successfully done this, of course, in not that far away Malaysia, and they'd had a good crack at the whole of the Middle East as well. But what was going to happen next? Well, let's pretend that we're looking out to sea over the great, wide, idiotically enormous Pacific Ocean, and it's 1521, and we're sat there with a nice coconut milkshake, which I presume we're, I mean, I don't want to get too bogged down in this, but I presume we're drinking out of the coconut because plastic receptacles had not been invented. I'm getting too bogged down. 1521, you look out and you see a boat. Ooh, that's a big boat. That looks far more technologically advanced than all the rafts and stuff that we've been making around here. Who's that fella? Tell you who that is. Ferdinand Magellan. Now, he wanted to claim the islands for Spain. Now, you've got to bear in mind, Spain is a fucking long way. So, fair play. These guys had taken off from Spain. They'd gone around the tip of Argentina, the cold bit, and then up and, you know, conquered the whole of, well, you know, Latin America, which, of course, speaks Spanish. And then they said, wouldn't it be great if we could just do a bit more of this stuff? Why don't we carry on with the boat a little bit further? Not knowing that the Pacific was fucking massive. So they must have been very relieved when they finally rocked up here in the Philippines. And this guy said, you know what we need? We need to call it something. Why don't we call it after that guy that's about to be the King of Spain, the heir to the throne, Prince Philip. Prince Philip, later of course he was King Philip II of Spain. That's why the Philippines is called the Philippines. Which, I must look this up actually, the only one that springs to mind, a country named after a person, is Rhodesia, which of course is now Zimbabwe, and that was named after Cecil Rhodes. Rhodesia, Cecil Rhodes. He was a first class arsehole. But there's probably other ones, so do email in, don't Google, that's cheating, and let me know what other countries were named after people. Oh, America. That's quite a big one. Anyway, the name the Philippines was coined by this guy, Ruy Lopez de Villalobos. So he got off the boat and he said, well, I can't call it Ruy Lopez Islands, so I'll call it the Philip Islands, the Philippines. So Spain came along, ruled the Philippines for about 300 years, during which time Christianity was introduced. They were massive on that. Did a cracking job in Latin America, loved a church, and they did the same here. And the islands became an important part of the absolutely massive Spanish Empire. So, that's all that then, isn't it? So it's probably just part of Spain now. Everything was fine, no one got hurt, everyone just carried on with their life. No. Next up, let's move to 1898, Spanish-American War. The Spanish-American War. Spain ceded the Philippines to the United States. I think the argument was something like this. Hey, Spain, I know you've got the Philippines, but you do know that mainland Spain is bloody miles away, right? And, like, you're quite powerful, but you're not really as powerful as we're becoming. We're the goddamn Americans, and we're going to kick your ballsack. And so Spain said, all right, then, fine. And gave the Philippines to the United States. So these islands, very, very, very far from the United States. I mean, closer to the United States than Spain, sure, but still, bloody long way, even to Hawaii. These islands then became American. So here I am on what was American soil. Philippine-American War. The Filipinos, led by this guy called Emilio, fought for independence from the US. They said, hey, we don't want to be part of your empire. We need our own thing. That didn't happen until, actually, after the Second World War, when there was a whole bunch of, this isn't ours, you can have that. Shall we make that? Shall we move that? Shall we do that border there? Is that okay? You know, the whole, let's make Pakistan, Pakistan, and India, India, and let's put Israel there, and all those decisions, which have all gone swimmingly well, and everyone seems very happy with. All of those decisions tended to come after the Second World War, when everyone was like, right, let's not ever do that again. Let's try and have peace by carving up nations in a way that seems probably appropriate. Unless, of course, you're on the ground and you have knowledge of the tribal and Aboriginal cultures that go on there. Anywho, history can be interesting, particularly when done in a rapid way, so let's keep moving. World War II. During World War II, the Philippines was occupied by Japan. When I was at school, we studied what happened with the Germans occupying all parts of Europe, and of course the massive conflict that happened there. But it wasn't called a world war for no reason. It was kicking off everywhere, and the Japanese were doing outrageous things. It was occupied completely, the Philippines, by Japan, and they also had a bloody good go at loads of other places, including a good chunk of China. If you actually look at the map of how big the Japanese Empire got, my goodness, they were doing well until Pearl Harbor, and then that all very much changed, because of course that was the impetus for the Americans to say, I'm going to drop two atomic bombs on Japan. So Japan retreated after World War II. The Philippines gained full independence July the 4th, 1946. The Philippines gained full independence, right? So the Japanese left, and the Philippines, for the first time in its history, was now an independent country. If you're an alien, you'd find it very hard to pick out where the Philippines ends and Indonesia starts, right? If you didn't have colour coding on a map. Yeah, it's not the most logical borders of all time. I mean, I'm not sure that any really are. They're all manufactured by us, aren't they? Passports are stupid. We shouldn't have them. We should all move around wherever we want, whenever we want to, like we used to not even that long ago. But that's another rant for another time. I just think we're all becoming a little bit too used to the fact that we are controlled, and I don't like it, and that's why occasionally I get on a motorbike and blat across developing countries, so I feel an orgasmic sense of freedom. I didn't plan saying that. I just watched a documentary on passports and it made me really, really sad. Yeah. After the war, the Philippines became a republic and has since developed into a vibrant democracy with a growing economy. Are there problems? Abso-fuckly. What's the big ones? Poverty in general and corruption. Always hang out together, don't they? Poverty and corruption. That is a really significant issue here in the Philippines, particularly in the poorer areas outside the capital here, Manila, of which I'm sure I'll be exploring some on the old motorbikes. So, yeah, let's take a walk. Let's see how we go. But before I do, let's just conclude with this. The Philippines is unique. It's unique in the fact that it is the only Asian country to ever have been colonized by the Spanish. As a result, Tagalog, the language here, Tagalog has occasionally some Spanish words in it. A shout back to when the Spanish ruled these lands. Don't run away with the fact that everyone looks like they're Spanish, by the way. It's not really like that. You've got to bear in mind that a lot of people came from Mexico, probably against their will, I would suggest. Some, the rich, I would imagine, came from Spain. But then lots of other people have come from various other parts of Asia. So, yeah, you know, it's a pretty unique place. Let's go and explore more of it. My name's Vinny. I think it's time to get out. It's time to get out. I'm getting itchy feet. So let's take a walk. Forgive the noise, but it's kind of relevant to the point I'm about to make. Manila is home to 15 million people. It's hot, always. It's the end of the rainy season now. And all that means is it rains a bit less, but generally speaking, it's always 20-something degrees. Right now, it's about 31, even though it's the end of the day. I'm walking underneath the super-elevated highway. And underneath that highway is another road full of very loud traffic. Air pollution is horrific. The noise pollution is horrific. There's people urinating in the street. Guys going up the wrong way on the roads, on tuk-tuks. People dicing with their life, running through traffic to try and get to the other side. You feel like you're in one of those dystopian movies when you walk around Manila, because it's awful. It's a terrible place. I feel sorry for the 15 million people that have to live here. All right, so right now I'm thinking I think I need to just have a bit of solace. I need some rest, all right, away from this endless traffic. There's a guy with a tuk-tuk that's broken down. He's underneath it, covered in oil. He's stressed. There's a street dog sniffing up my leg. It's just endless shouting of people buying fatty, unhealthy fried chicken covered in goo. And in amongst it all, there is a chicken, weirdly. A live one. I don't know how long he's got left. There's a man hanging on to it. There's a man hanging on to the back of a golf cart there, barking like a dog. I don't know why. Maybe he's got rabies. A lot of the capitals of these developing countries, we're ever on floods, but there's just no planning, and because of corruption and a lack of forethought, you just don't get the amenities that you get in the rest of the world. For example, I want to take refuge in a park. I look on Google Maps for a bit of green space. There isn't any. It's all been built on. This is endless. It is relentless. The only peace you're going to get is back at your hotel room, which is why I have noticed that I've been spending a considerably long time in there. And now I know why. It's just so fucking intense out here that it just melts your brain. Now we've got a police escort coming through. Some government dignitaries. I guess they're happy in their air-conditioned 4x4, thinking, oh, isn't this country being run well? Well, you know what, lads, you need to pull your fucking finger out. It is not good enough. I am not impressed, Philippines, not with Manila. It's safe, and that makes me really happy. I feel really safe. I'm wandering along with a bag on. I am taking extra care, but I haven't seen any problems whatsoever. The people are mega friendly. I can't speak badly about the people, and I wouldn't. I would never do that. But this city has grown fast without planning, and as a result, it is apocalyptically loud, difficult, and it's like this 24 hours a day, by the way. But where's the fucking underground train? Yeah, where's the sky rail like they've got in Bangkok, for example? Where is the infrastructure for public transport? There isn't any. It's fend for yourself, good luck, mate. It's we didn't know we were going to grow this fast this soon, and now look what we've done. And I can't see how they're going to get out of this situation. I've never been to Dhaka in Bangladesh, but from the documentaries I've seen, this can't be that far away from that. There's traffic jams you could get stuck in for days here if you get unlucky. I was never coming to the Philippines to come to Manila. And I had a friend of mine who said, get the fuck out of there as soon as you arrive. I'm probably overcooking it by hanging around for the best part of a week. But I've got to wait for a buddy, and I didn't want to leave town without him. So, yeah, that's what I'm doing. It is quite funny. Like, it is so relentless that it is actually quite humorous. Like, the maddest day in London doesn't come close to this level of bonky tonk. Okay, right, I'm in a reasonably quiet neighbourhood for now. I've managed to successfully walk here, and in doing so, actually, I realize now why I had a bit of a meltdown just then. Basically, I realize now that even Manilans don't tend to walk from neighborhood to neighborhood. It's hard. There's lots of underpasses, guys urinating in the street, stray dogs, all that other stuff that I sort of mentioned. and it's just really, really difficult to navigate your way across these giant highways, in some case, that divide neighbourhoods. A bit like some of the problems they have in North America. As a result, once you're in a neighbourhood, like this one, for example, I don't know where I am, but it seems all right, it's fairly easy to walk around. It's just, Manila itself is one of the least walkable cities I've ever been to. I realise now that probably I should have just jumped in a rickshaw, a moto rickshaw, and got on with it, you know, told him where I want to go. But that's the thing, when I come to a city, I do like just sort of wandering around, taking it in. That's fucking hard to do here, man. Really hard. Anyway, here I am, and I'd like to apologise to the people of Manila. I'm sure there's lovely parts of this city. I've only been here for a couple of days, and it was way too quick to make a judgement. It was completely the stress talking, and I just felt like I was having a meltdown. I had to go into a coffee shop and get a coffee and just enjoy the aircon. You know, I didn't grow up here. I'm not used to walking around in 30, 35 degree heat, and I'm not used to this amount of noise and traffic and hassle and dogs and rats. And I mean, we were walking and running, and that's all we did until a couple of hundred years ago. And since then, we've built these cities, and some of them, like this one, you can't walk across. Well, you can, but my God, it's hard work. And I just feel like that is a really tragic mistake. Let's just say a detrimental effect on your temporary mental health. Or another way of saying, this place is so fucking mental, I challenge you to spend any time here wandering around on your own without using transport and not have a complete fucking meltdown. I'm sure it's lovely in places. I haven't found them yet. Hello and welcome along. You might remember this man if you listen to the Nicaragua podcast. He's my mate from London. His name's Pete. Hi, Pete.
Oh, hi, mate. How you doing?
Hello, Governor.
Hi, listeners.
So we've got a whiskey on the go, but I think we're not particularly under the influence.
Weren't as drunk as last time.
We were quite drunk in Nicaragua.
We were talking about chairs a lot, and we were talking about babies on motorcycles and leafleting, if I can remember correctly.
Leafleting?
Yeah, as in, like, you know, what process are you going to try to legislate or inflict legislation upon people? And we came to just posting a leaflet through people's doors saying, no, put a baby on a motorcycle. That's basically the conclusion of the hour podcast.
Right. I worry sometimes about what people get out of this, but what you now know is that in Nicaragua, we feel strongly about babies without helmets. You're welcome to have that conversation all over again, yeah. Because we're not that far from the equator. It's really hot and has some Spanish influence, not quite so much as Nicaragua. We are in the Philippines and we're in Morong.
Yeah, just south of Morong on the west coast.
We left Manila on motorbikes. We rented them for what was supposed to be 10 days. We went north and then we went west. Have I got that right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's where you'll find Morong. But there's a lot to unpack there because I got to the Philippines first. I knocked about a hotel for a couple of days. The plan was we rent motorbikes and go for a cruise. And I was really impressed with us. We did some very pragmatic research.
Did we?
Yeah. Remember the night we went through the Lonely Planet or Rough Guide?
I don't actually know.
And we
Oh no, we're here.
Yeah.
We didn't do it beforehand, and I think had we done so beforehand, the trip wouldn't have looked like it's looked.
Yes, we did only.
We should have done it before we left.
But wouldn't we have come up with roughly the same plan?
Man, because I think we would have gone, hey, Manila. Let's bypass that. That's a fucking shithole.
Morong is, if you go from the Manila north and then you head west, you'll end up on the coast, a very beautiful coast, and you'll be surrounded by occasional what used to be volcanoes, not particularly massive, and a sort of dusty neighbourhood of, not, it's not particularly well visited, this part of the world, is it?
No, I think it's a relatively recently built beach resort. It feels like the area is still being built.
Yeah.
And I think maybe 10 years' time, it might be a bit more commercialised and hustly-bustly and people flogging cashew nuts and knocked-off sunglasses on the beach. But at the moment, it's still fairly undiscovered, I think,
this part
of the country.
The plan was, Pete comes over a couple of days after me. We pick up motorbikes in Manila and we drive out and we explore lots of places in the Philippines that are easy enough to get to.
So I got the sense you were keen on having a few days by yourself before I came out regardless. I got a sense of that was because you like connecting with the locals. Did you not do enough of that, do you think?
I tried. Whilst the Filipinos are extraordinarily polite, everyone calls you sir, and we've recently found out they call each other sir, I should mention. I do find that any depth of conversation, even if the English is good, that doesn't really happen. Have you had any deep chats?
I launched into a conversation about Brexit, and someone asked me about the what the UK was like, and then he quickly got on to talking about what type of fish I should have eaten in the market. You know, we didn't understand it at all. So whether that's a language barrier thing or, I don't know, cultural relevance.
I like finding out about the country and asking people what they think of it. And you've got to bear in mind, most people have never left it and never will. So when you say, what do you think of the Philippines? They go, well, it's great. In the same way that you would say of any country if you'd never left it and were never going to.
I had this romantic notion of, you know, driving around beautiful jungles, quiet sand, white sandy beaches, and there's a lot of that, isn't there? But
yeah.
I think, you know, Manila certainly isn't that, and it was remarkably polluted. They have these things called jeepneys, which I now know were vehicles left behind by the Americans in World War II, which they've converted. And to be fair, they look pretty, like there's lots of chrome and stuff, but they pump out the worst fucking pollution.
Yeah.
I described it as pollution from a 1980s fairground. You know, it's that kind of thing on the big wheel and it makes you feel sick because every time you get past a diesel engine.
Yeah. So I've taken to breathing into my bike glove.
Is that doing anything?
It's
like my mum put a scarf around her gob during COVID. It's like, mum, what's doing fuck all? Did you put a scarf around your gob? Yeah, I don't think it's going to do much, but it's doffing the cap to trying to keep it out, isn't it? I'm going to be thankful for the air in London. I'm going to have that when I go back to London from this country. Fucking bonkers. I've never experienced it. It's disgusting.
Yeah. Apparently the worst is Ulaanbaatar in Mongolia, the capital of Mongolia, because they still burn coal and everyone has coal in their houses and they built it in a valley and there's honking diesel traffic.
It's not ideal, is it?
So, yeah. I mean, it kills people all the time.
Mm.
We were in Manila. It would be unfair to get someone with chronic jet lag and stick them straight on a motorbike. So we always had one buffer day, right?
Mm.
I do a couple of days, you arrive, we have one day where you sleep and relax, and then the next day we go and rent motorbikes. That had all been organised because I'd already gone down there and chatted to them. The day came to rent the bikes, and fair play, it was you. You walked into my room and because we had a room each, because that's one bonus of the Philippines. Pretty cheap, isn't it?
You can live like kings.
And you walked into my room and said, you need to look at the radar of the weather.
Tropical storm Christine was coming down the aisle. And it was a typhoon as it hit the Philippines. Large parts of the country has got really flooded.
So you said there's no way, and you were quite right, there's no way we can get motorbikes on the day we want to. We'll have to wait.
It would have been dangerous.
The thing about motorbikes is the thing that makes them attractive is also the thing that makes them unattractive. Like the good thing about motorbikes is that you really feel like you're in the country. There's nothing between you and the rest of it. And you really feel like you're at one, particularly in a country where everyone rides motorbikes.
Mm.
Often with bolted on sidecars with
babies on the front.
Babies on the front. Or babies inside.
Did they not get the leaflet?
So, you rightly said, there's no way we're going. You're absolutely bang on. So, we waited 2 days.
And we thought, well, if we're going to stay in a hotel, let's get a better one. So, we moved to hotels, which is nice because we kind of moved away from the Skyway, which is this motorway that's been built over the top of the city really recently. And you think, without that there to alleviate the congestion down below, what was it like?
Yeah.
I mean, walking down the street, you could barely breathe.
Yeah.
So it was nice to get out of that part of town into a slightly leafier suburb. Dramatic storm, lots of thunder, lots of lightning. We braved it to go and get a meal. Very tropical downpour, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And power cuts whilst we were... Which was unfortunate because it was one of those restaurants where you had to cook the food yourself And my policy on that, previous to visiting that restaurant, was, well, if I'm going to a restaurant, I want the fucking food cooked for me. But it was actually quite nice, wasn't it?
It was a lovely hot pot.
Yeah.
Apart from the electric shocks that I kept getting.
that aided my entertainment.
Big vat in the middle of the table, and you throw in all your veg and your meat, and it cooks up. You chuck in some noodles.
Do you think you were the cause of the power cuts?
I hadn't thought of that.
You might have been. You were getting electric. So you were earthing the entire neighbourhood's power system.
I was thrown across the room a couple of times.
Yes, and that wasn't just the blow-offs.
And I said to, I said to the staff, I said, don't want to be difficult, but I keep getting thrown across the room.
Like Michael J. Fox out of Back to the Future.
Yeah, the opening scene. And they said, yeah, well, just don't touch any metal. And by the way, you weren't here a minute ago, but I just went to 7-Eleven to buy a cheeky little bottle of whiskey. And a Filipino guy got a proper electric shock off the fridge, and his friend opened it with his foot. And I said, sorry, just to be clear, do you guys get a lot of electric shocks from various things? And he goes, yeah, it's the Philippines.
Also, was he wearing willies? Correct me if I'm wrong, but surely the foot is as conductive as the hand.
Crocs.
Ah,
the great croc
once again proves its worth.
Yeah,
croc naysayer over croc here. Conversion. Vinnie White.
I've always said that crocs are the most repulsive thing in the world, which they are, but I have seen a use because you can open fridges with them without electric shocks, and you've taken to wearing them on the motorbike.
Well, this probably leads on to the point at which we hired a bike. So, after the first 2 days of hunkering down in the nicer hotel, we eventually got the bikes and then started heading out of Manila. And it was flooded, basically, wasn't it? It stretches. And
the storm that kept us in hotel rooms for an extra 2 days had done quite a lot of damage. To be clear about this, it had also killed 10 people in the southern Philippines.
So we were driving around a back road, kind of constricted by the pace of traffic ahead of you. So my exhaust is lower down. So you don't want to go too slow because the water gets in the exhaust, you're done for. Then my bag fell off the bike, got all of my clothes, my laptop, passport, money, you know, in the sink, trying to get that rescued, trying to keep the scooter upright. A very, very pleasant local chap helped me get the bag out, which is lovely.
Out of the water.
Out of the water, yeah. And then we sort of pulled over and thankfully everything was okay. That was the start of the journey. And then at one stage, we got to another major flood. And the locals have built these, I don't know, manoeuvrable bridges. They've made like a small bridge out of a motorbike with a sort of metal ramp on it. You drive up a metal ramp and they charge you 50 pesos and they transport you over the flood. Which makes me think that flood's a great deal for them to have built those things specifically for that purpose.
Yeah. I mean, they are motorbikes, which seems a bit weird that your motorbike is likely to flood, so you'll be saved by a motorbike. But they've adapted them with a really high exhaust and built this whole frame around it that you can drive your bike onto, and then they pootle along through. It's a weird sensation.
Yeah, it was strange.
But yeah, you know, floods are quite bad and quite regular, big up global warming, when you've got guys that have adapted motorbikes to transfer normal motorbikes across floodplains.
An average 23 typhoons a year they get hit by.
They average 23.
Yeah, 23 is the average. I'm sure that's likely to go up potentially, or they say that the storm intensifies because of global warming. Some parts of the Philippines had a month's worth of rain in 24 hours, which is just insane.
And we saw it. We saw loads of flooded houses.
Yeah, really grim. Because it was a rough start, wasn't it?
It was rough. A, we were 2 days late because we had to wait for the storm to subside. B, when we got moving, the storm had devastational consequences on our journey, and quite often we had to go knee high through.
That's why I brought the Crocs, by the way.
Yeah,
yeah,
good croc leg. Thank you.
Croc leg is important, isn't it? Going back to that point.
And see, when the fuck does Manila finish?
Yeah.
For fuck's sake.
Yeah.
So Manila, as previously described, not a nice city, but the whole thing is with the Philippines. If you look at any picture of the Philippines, you will only see beautiful beaches and mountains and paddy fields and outstanding landscapes of dead volcanoes, sometimes live volcanoes. It is a tropical paradise of 7,400 islands. Great. Let's leave Manila. Let's do that. We're already late. And Manila just turns into another town, which turns into another town, which turns into another town. All of them with big honking jeepneys and extremely polluting vehicles. And no sense of any relief, was there? And yeah. I lost my sense of humour.
By McDonald's, which is easily done, isn't it? We stopped off because it was a rainstorm, so we pulled into there and Vinnie bought some hot chocolate. There was a nice man, you know, conducting the car park and opened the door and offered me a plastic chair at some stage and we chucked him a few quid. And that's the thing, really. I mean, all of this was tempered by the welcoming smiles of the people here.
Yeah.
I think we might have touched it when we spoke in Nicaragua, and really these two countries that I've, you know, visited with you are the only examples of this that I've witnessed. But generally, when all the people are poor, all the people generally are happy because they've got no frame of reference of jealousy or missing out or whatever.
And
never have I felt unsafe or unwelcomed. But I'm always surrounded by shit. I'm always surrounded by rubbish, and I don't blame them. You know, where's the, you know, you don't have bi-weekly fucking refuse collections, do you?
No.
Just chuck stuff away in the river.
Everyone throws stuff out, which has big consequences. We later found on the beaches, because guess what happens to the beaches after there's a massive flood? Those rivers swell up. Any plastic and stuff that's been thrown on the riverbank gets engulfed. It all goes out to sea and then gets pushed back all over this tropical paradise. So there's a lot that could be changed, as with many developing countries, when it comes to people looking after it. But on the other side of things, who can blame them?
Mm.
They haven't got a regular garbage collection.
Yeah.
So yeah, my concern, I didn't enjoy it, and I had a little, I wouldn't say meltdown, but it was pretty borderline meltdown, after Manila just carries on and on and on and on, and after, I think it was a 6-hour drive, I started seeing a couple of fields, and then suddenly, I think we hit a town called San Fernando, where we're suddenly back in the rest of it, really, really polluted. And I was just like, where's the fucking beauty? Where is it?
Well, that's why people fly into Manila and quickly fly out to go to one of those beautiful islands.
Yeah.
Which we could have done, but it wouldn't have been an adventure. And I think we're not finished the journey yet, but I think we've scratched the itch enough of, which I'm sure we might come on to, of the beauty and the splendour and the tranquility and the jungle and all that kind of stuff to get a sense of what this country is. It isn't just a scrawling metropolis of jeepneys and pollution and rubbish.
Yeah. It feels like it when you've only spent time in Manila and tried to get out. Yeah. But after that, and let's move on to that. So after a night in San Fernando, we both arrived, we were completely soaked. And I tend to wear jeans on a bike. You were wearing trousers as well, weren't you?
Yeah.
And like boots and all the stuff that you should wear, which no one wears here. Of course they don't. It's, you know, 32 degrees.
Not even the babies.
And
it was grim. I was on the main roadside. You were on the other side. It's just like the national hobby is honking their horns. And I was trying to sleep and hearing these rhythmical honks, which makes me think that the honk has been designed to do that rhythm, because it was so almost like it's been quantized. Yeah, so you just hold the honk down and it goes, and it must, I don't know if it was like, you know, honk corner or something, it was the local honking part. Fuck me, constant honking.
Do you think it was based on the slight interference you get when you put a mobile phone in a speaker?
It sounded very similar to that in honk form. So I did not have a restful time in that hotel, but I was pleased to be there and pleased to be dry.
You cleaned your shoes with a towel,
which I got charged for.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I mean, I did soil it beyond what would be a reasonable soil rate.
It was an unacceptable soiling.
It was an unacceptable soiling. But I felt that, you know, put it through a 60-degree wash with some, you know, Ariel automatic. I think that'd be all right.
And did you make this point when they said, can I have €8?
No.
No.
Just give them the money and fucked off.
It's an expensive towel, though, isn't it?
700 shitters, mate. Yeah. Which is about 10 quid, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's about 10 quid.
They offered me the towel. You can keep the towel. I don't want to keep the towel. It's soiled.
And they said,
well, there we go.
That seems to be the problem, sir. Now give us your money.
Yeah.
So we hit the road the next day. We're now a couple of days after leaving Manila. And all we've really seen is Manila suburbs. My goodness, wouldn't it be nice to hit a beach? And we made it round to a town called Arengapo.
We were calling it Arangibu, but it wasn't that.
Yeah. So we hit Arangapo near what used to be a US military base. And I now know, having looked at a guidebook, that we saw a lot of go-go bars, a lot of strip clubs, and we now realise that it used to be, because there used to be an American base there, it used to be catering sexy times for the GIs, for the American forces. And then we saw a beach. So we ended up on a beach. It was nice. We had a little break. The bikes were pulled over and we pulled out the old laptop, booked some accommodation a bit further up the coast. And we went to what was a very needed, beautiful haven.
Yeah, there was a little swimming pool. It was in a kind of quaint little beach town near some mountains. Simple accommodation. I mean, it had air conditioning, which is high on the priority list, obviously, in this kind of type of country, but it could have done with a lick of paint. But it had a bar, lovely food, and peace and quiet.
So I think that's a pretty good place to call it a day on this podcast for now. As you can tell, this is a two-part podcast about the Philippines. I'm going to call it a day on this now, and that will be the end of part one, to find out what happened to us. Now we're finally talking about life outside the endless stretches of Manila. You'll have to tune in to part two as Vinny and Pete report from a tropical paradise with a bit of a racist. All that coming up in part two. I look forward to editing that now and popping it up on the old intertubes. If you'd like to donate, it would be highly appreciated. Times are hard and all that. Go to vinnywhite.co.uk and there should be a button where you can make a small donation to the hosting of this podcast. Vinny White is spelt a weird way. Just Google it, vinnywhite.co.uk, and that would be highly appreciated. Don't feel you have to, but you know, if you enjoyed it, chuck us a few quid. And the other way you could show appreciation, if you're not doing too well for money, is just drop me a line. You'll find the email address on that website as well. I'm not on social media because it's shit. This is as close as I get to it. My own personal recordings from around the world. That was Country 94, the Philippines, part one. Tune in for part two. Tune in when part two is edited. I'll upload it and you can listen to that one too. All right, big love from the Philippines.